love it when I got somebody to blame. Oh man. You know, it was a great time being gone, but it's a joy to be home. What a privilege we have to worship God, and when we stop and think about that awesome privilege that we have, we're blessed to do that, guys. He gives us a choice. We can do as we please. We can do anything different. But we are given a privilege of coming before the throne of God to give Him glory for all that He has done for us. And guys, stop and think for just a minute about any good thing in your life. There's good reason to praise God and worship Him. To me, one of also the great joys is the opportunity to be with others of like faith, to share together, to fellowship together, to spend time and gain strength and encouragement from. I find that to be pretty comforting. I find that to be a wonderful thing. I don't know what I would do without my family, but I love my family. All of us are at different stages of growth. All of us have different struggles and challenges, ups and downs. But together we make a family that we can grow and go forward and serve the Lord. Hopefully your strengths will help my weaknesses and vice versa. That's part of a body. And that's the way God designed His church to be. And we need to strive to be that. We need to make sure that we live for Him and we give Him all that we've got as we go about from day to day. Guys, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, often we ask about how do we become spiritual beings. There's a lot of ideas about what spiritual is. I want to go to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's not chapter 3. I'm sorry about that. That's a misprint in the outline. But in 1 Corinthians, yeah, Becky, you and I are kindred spirits. Oh, man. You know, that's one thing. Brian was fussing about the song didn't turn out. That's probably my fault because I'm just a big mouth. And so I know that a lot of times when those things go wrong, it's just because I got a bigger mouth than everybody else. But that's part of it. That's okay. We'll work it out. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he discern or know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, as we look at this passage, a lot of times we have this idea of spiritual. And so we might be of the mindset to think that, you know, we look out on everybody else and think that I'm spiritual and everybody else hasn't achieved yet. We might be of the mindset where we look at others and feel that there's no way I can achieve that level of spirituality. But I think we need to understand that in order to understand spiritual, we're not going to be able to take the natural things and really understand and comprehend what spiritual is, guys. We're going to have to look through the eyes of God. And really, a spiritual individual is one that humbles themselves before God and submits to Him. And that's really the long and the short of it. Somebody that really looks to what God has to say, that strives to live and to serve, that has the attitude of looking around on others with a desire to help them to grow and go forward. A spiritual individual may not be really what we think a lot of times from the human perspective. And so we need to be careful about comparing the natural things and the natural attitudes to consider what is it to be spiritual. But our desire, hopefully, is to become more spiritual, to grow and develop from where we are. And this passage in Psalm chapter 1, I believe it's a very important passage that will help us to gain a little bit better understanding as we study today this passage in Psalm chapter 1. And so Billy read that just a few minutes ago, and that passage, I guess one of the things that I think that I never thought about this passage much until I went to Jamesport, Missouri to preach. And there was a man there by the name of Marvin that when he was this age right here, they memorized Psalm chapter 1. Well, he was about 75. And one of the first things I remember of Jamesport was he quoted Psalm chapter 1. And he remembered it from this age. And that, you know, it's a neat passage. And so I know I'd read it many times before, but it really didn't sink in and become such a fixture in my life until he gave me that example. And so we ask about becoming spiritual, and as we look at this passage, I want to look at a few things. I want to go to Psalm chapter 19 to begin with, and I want to look at verse 14, because the idea of meditation on God's Word, to really stop and look and to consider and to contemplate the message that God has put within the Word, is a very important step, essential step, and without that, I do not believe that we can really become the spiritual individuals that God has determined for us to be. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, this is a prayer of David as he is striving to be what God wants him to be. And David was a man after God's own heart. And he was through his bloodline that the Messiah was to come. And he made mistakes. He did things that he shouldn't have done, but he struggled to grow. And he humbled himself when he was wrong and came back to God. Now you think about that for just a minute. That doesn't mean he was perfect when he was a man after God's own heart. It means that he was humble. And he acknowledged his faults and changed. And that's a big thing in man's responsibility. Because you and I are kindred spirits. We're not perfect. Okay? And so we look at David and we see him saying, "God, please let the words of my mouth, the things that I say, the words that come out, and the meditation that is within my heart be acceptable." Guys, we need to stop and think and meditate on God's Word. Especially the ones that have a tendency to stand out, because a lot of times they stand out because they might have special meaning because we're struggling with it. You know? I think that's one of the things, you know, I think about that passage for quite some time when I was dealing with a lot of struggles. I thought about that passage, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And the reason I meditated and quoted on so many times throughout the day, because I was struggling and trusting in His strength. Meditate. Contemplate. Think. Dwell on God's words. Let it be the meditation of your heart. And let it exemplify itself in the things that you say and do. Now I want to go to another passage in Psalm 119. And so we're going to be looking at that passage several times this evening, or this morning and today. But I want to notice in Psalm 119 and verse 97, notice what it says. It says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Becoming spiritual has to do with stopping and thinking about what does God say before we act. That has a lot to do with being a spiritual individual. And when we stop and think about pray without ceasing, I think that has a lot to do with not necessarily being on your knees all day in a prayer to God, but it has to do with a prayerful attitude where we're meditating on God's Word and we're in our mind communicating with, okay, what should I do? You know, I'm about to speak. And so I'm meditating on what would God want me to say. I'm about to make some decision in life, and whatever it may be, whether I'm going to speak to my wife or my husband, whether I'm going to discipline and deal with children, whether I'm going to make a decision on where I'm going to go, I'm going to ask the question, what would God have me to do in this situation? The meditation of God's Word should be on your mind all day long. And that's what David says. That's what God's saying in His Word. And I believe that that is what God expects of you and mine. You and me. One of the things that I want us to understand about the Lord's church, that no church will ever rise above its membership. Now, that's not really a true... The way it's stated is kind of redundant, because the church is the membership. Okay? Those that Jesus has added to the church, they are the church. They are the membership. They're one and the same. We can't change it. This building has nothing. The church is the people that Jesus added. Now, the key is what I'm trying to point, that I'm trying to get across, is you and me are the hindrance towards the growth and development of the church. That gives us a responsibility to meditate on God's Word and then to work at letting our actions exemplify themselves. Instead of putting other things before and going about and charging forward and doing things our way, that's not a spiritual individual. A spiritual individual is going to be thinking about what God has said and work at making changes to our life to be in conjunction with what He says. Guys, I will guarantee you that will bless your life. But you and me, we have a tendency to be headstrong sometimes, and we want to do it the Burger King way. And it's not going to get it, okay? It's just not going to work. And a lot of times you think, well, you see somebody that did it their way, and you say, well, how'd that work out for you? You know, it doesn't usually work out real good. When we do it our way, it creates problems. And so we want to look at the spiritual individual. And so Psalm 1 actually is where God gives us options. We've got choices. Choices to make. And so this passage is so clear in the things that it says that, you know, it's just a matter of getting back into the Word and say, okay, what does that mean? In verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight... Okay, now let's think about delight. I delight in the wife of my youth. Have good reason. She's amazing. You know? I am so blessed. And so, we're looking here at spiritual things. Okay? And so, we might delight in a chocolate bar. Mm-hmm. We even delight more in two chocolate bars. Don't touch. Now that wasn't in the instructions. That's not what I was told. We got really in trouble. So it's we do that on purpose. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Guys, that's the spiritual individual. And we need to understand that if you and I are going to win, we must delight in the law of God. If we disobey it, do we delight it? We kind of do it tongue-in-cheek, you know. But I don't like it that way, you know. And we're kind of arguing with God, and we're saying, well, God, I don't know if you really know what you're talking about here. You know,
And we kind of want to throw it back in his face, and we ignore his instruction and the things. And so we need to be those that delight in the law of the Lord. It's a joyful thing. It's kind of like, I'm ready for a piece of chocolate. Okay? I'm thrilled that Dorothy is my wife. Okay? I delight in those things. But the question is, do you delight in the law of God? And so as we look at that and consider that, we need to recognize that if we're going to win, we have to do that. And I want to go back to Psalm 119 again. And I want to look at verses 47 and 48. Psalm 119 is a passage is about God's law. And it's a little kind of a paragraph or a section on each alphabet in the letter. They say that in the Hebrew language, it's such a beautiful passage because it's poetry that is, I guess, rhyming with the alphabet letter that it corresponds to. Now, I've listened to it once on the internet to listen to see how does that sound in Hebrew. I'm not real trained, okay? but at any rate, so that's the context of, but it's telling us about the greatness of God's Word. And in verse 47 and 48, he says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Now, stop and think about that passage for just a minute. He's saying, look, he said, God, I will delight myself in what you tell me I have to do. Guys, we need to delight ourselves in God's law. We need to give all that we can to do what he says. It should be a joy in our heart. Now, and I know that it's not always real obvious, and it's not real easy to delight in God's law when sometimes we don't really like exactly what God has to say. And so we need to recognize that if we will do his will and force ourselves to give in to his commands, we will find in course of time that it actually going to give me a better life, and it'd be a little easier to find joy in the journey, won't it? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have found that life is happier when you are submissive to God and you give into his way? I do. Isn't that a good sign? Shouldn't that be a clue in our lives that we need to look at the little things that we want to kick to the side and change them in our life? You know, I want to impress on our young people. We've got a lot of young people. Okay? You want a good life? Want a good life? Want a good life? Live for God. Delight in his law. Make yourself submit to his will. But what does that mean for the rest of us that are older? Set the example. Do you like a good example to listen to, Trent, to look at and say, oh, I see. Well, and one of the things that I think is neat, God gives us those opportunities. And the church is made up of many mothers and fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers, brothers and sisters. It's a family. But now I want us to stop and think for just a minute. How many ever have ever made mistakes in your life and set the wrong example for your children? You know, I made some mistakes. It's scary when you think about Jesus saying, better for them that a millstone were hanged about their neck and they were drowned in the depths of the sea because they led away astray one of these little ones. Guys, we need to set the example. And we need to do it God's way, because if we choose to do it wrong, we're going to set an example for them to do it wrong. Scares me to death. That millstone is a real, real thing that Jesus was talking about. And we imagined, what's a millstone like to hang around your neck and then throw you into the depths of the sea? We've got a responsibility to meditate and obey. And so that's what God is trying to help us to see. In Psalm 119, verses 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Guys, the lamp and the light's there. We need to spend time in God's word to look at what it says, because we can't be the godly individual. We can't stay away from the ungodly ways if we don't know what the word says. It should be one of the highest priorities in our life to learn the things that God has put in the Word, to understand it and get to know it. You know, it was kind of neat. We were studying the other day, and of course Maggie has a hard time seeing. And so we shared one Bible and shared another, and finally I showed her the one on her phone, and she's excited. She said, "Now I can read the Bible every day." How many daily Bible readers do we have? I missed one this week, so I can't raise mine. Now, I got up real early to come home because I couldn't wait to get home. And so I didn't read it on Thursday. Guys, read your Bibles. That was so thrilling. Maggie and Shelley were just, they were bubbling all over the place. When they found a Bible, they could see. And so that was exciting. But guys, you got to study it so that it can be the lamp. If you don't have the lamp, you can't see the way. You won't have the light. God's word gives us direction. And we need to spend time in it so that we will have that direction and be able to follow what God says. I want to go to Psalm 19, and I want to look at it verses 9 and 10, because here again it helps us to recognize the importance of God's law. It says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Why would we disagree with them? Why would we try to push them to the side? Why would we let them take second place to anything in our lives? Because they're good, they're righteous, they're proper. He continues in verse 10, he says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." That's what God's word really is. It's so easy, though, to not take the time to put it in, and to not give it the priority that it should have in our life. Make sure that God's word is a priority in your life. And we're going to learn also that to be spiritual, we have to put it into practice. But we have to learn it if we are going to be able to be that spiritual individual. So let's look at it for just a minute. And let me go to the Psalm passage in Psalm 119. And I almost forgot that one. Psalm 119, verses 71 and 72. It says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." We need to be able to say with the psalmist, "You know, it hurts me and cuts me when I see that I've done wrong, but guys, it's more precious to me than thousands of gold and silver." Can you imagine thousands of gold and silver? I don't think that gold's back over $1,200 an ounce. That's why I don't know, but I still kind of keep up with gold and silver prices. It's kind of interesting. But is God's word more precious to you than gold or silver? Is it more precious to you than lots and lots and lots of gold and silver? That's what God expects of us, and that's what God wants us to make sure that we do. Real quick, we're going to look at why does God's Word cause us to win? I want to go to... Got it? Okay. All right. Number one, God's Word causes us to win because it brings purity in our life when we obey it. Guys, don't second guess God and say, "Why, God, I don't think that that was a really good idea." You know, I've been around those that they just question why God did this. And they, you know, you look at other things and they say, "Well, you know, this happens and it was against God and I just thought it was so neat." And I'm thinking, but what does God say? You see, purity comes when we put God's Word into our life and act it out in the things that we say and do. Where we have an attitude of respect for the holy things that God has put there, and it influences us and causes us to act in that way. That's purity. Purity comes from putting God's law in our hearts. That kind of tells us what happens if we don't like it and we don't do it. That's not purity. We talked in James this morning in our Bible class in James 1 about the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. That's a word that goes in, is planted in, and a word that springs out. And so we need to have that priority, and we need to allow God's Word in our life so that purity comes by living what it says. I want to read that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And that passage is... I tell you, it's one of those standout chapters in the book of God's Word. And it's the admonition to the people as they were about to go into the promised land and saying, look, you need to do what He says. And if you do what He says, there's going to be an amazing amount of blessings that's going to come in your life. But then in verse 14, He starts with, okay, but if you don't do it, it's going to be the opposite. Okay, so in verse 13 of Deuteronomy 28, it says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, and to observe and to do them." Notice the emphasis on doing the things that God has said. Notice the blessings that come as a result of obeying God. You know, we talked a few minutes ago about how life is actually better and we enjoy it and we have a better life when we do what He says. It brings blessings to our lives, and that's what God's Word does. That's what the obedience does. But it's not always easy. I like good things in life. I want it to be easier to find joy in the journey, okay, than to make it my path full of briars and thorns. And if I don't submit to God, I'm looking at the snares and the nets and the briars and the thorns and the problems and the struggles and the difficulties. Guys, it causes us to win, and it brings great blessings into our life. We need to recognize the example that we found in Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And I'm not going to read it all. But in that we have where Jesus was baptized of John. Where He was going out into the wilderness. And He fasted for 40 days. Can you imagine? That's a long time. And at that particular point, Satan seems to bring some extra attacks on Him at His weakest point when He is really at the point of death if He doesn't soon get food. And so He tempts Him in every area of life. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. And He tempts Him in all of those areas to get Him to disobey God and go a different direction. Now, the thing about Jesus is every time that Jesus was faced with a temptation, He used God's Word to avoid it. need God's Word to help us to go in the right direction. Now, as we continue this lesson, we're going to recognize the importance of knowing what it says. Because, you know, is it just instantaneous when you have a problem that all of a sudden the Word of God comes to you and when you haven't studied it and you don't know it? It doesn't happen, does it? We need to spend time in God's Word to know and to understand what it says. And Jesus knew the Bible. He knew the things that were written there, and He was able to take that Bible in the midst of those problems and use it to properly know what to do and to refute the devil. I want us, as we go about our daily lives, number one, know God's Word. Keep learning it. Because you will not be spiritual if you don't learn it and know it. Because you won't even know how to live. And we must follow the things that it says. Humbly come before God and recognize His greatness and what He does for us. And use that Word to fight off temptation. And so, coming to God, learning and understanding His Word, and having a delight in of His Word in our life is going to bring a great blessing. I wish that everybody wanted that blessing in their life. Unfortunately, most do not. I wish that others could understand the joy of obedience and the good feelings that come when I know that I'm in cooperation with God in my actions and my words. We've got a wonderful God, guys. He's given us a perfect Word, a loving message that will bring great blessings to our life, that will help us to have a pure life, and that will help us to avoid the temptations that come in our life. I want the blessings that God brings. I hope that you do. I hope that it's important to you, that it's precious to you, and that it's causing you to grow every day. We'll finish this afternoon. But before we conclude, I want us to all think about our relationship to God. We all have some kind of a relationship to God. That relationship may be bad relationship. One of where God turns His face from us because we are not living as we should. One where God does not extend the salvation because we have not done what God said that we must do to be saved. We have the responsibility to live for God and to put Him first in all that we do. That life begins by obeying His plan of salvation, where we hear God's Word, we gain a faith in Him and what He does, what He has done, what we repent and we confess Christ and we're baptized for the remission of sins. But then it continues with a life of obedience. I can't just take advantage of that joy of salvation and then turn my back on following what He says. I have to continue forward. But what's neat is I receive the blessings of obedience. And the most wonderful blessing is eternity with God. Are you putting God first in your life? Are you humbly submitting to His will? Or do you kick at the goads, as the Apostle Paul did before he changed his life? Is anybody here that needs to respond to the invitation? Do it now while we stand and sing.